Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning. Thank you for listening to the Morning Beat on this Thursday, May 21st. I almost said it was April. Not really sure why I did that. It's May. It's definitely May, Michaela Gordon. We're so excited to have you here hanging out with us today. We have a great show coming up for you. Here in the first hour, we are talking about this idea of living half in the closet, half out of the closet. And then later on the show, we're actually going to bring in our Dr. Milo, our therapist to for Therapist Thursdays, to have a further discussion on this, what that could actually mean for your mental health, this idea of living a sort of a double life. Many in the LGBTQ community, myself included, can relate to that feeling. We're going to have an in-depth discussion about that today. Also, apparently it's not just the lesbian bars that need saving right now, Michaela Gordon. An iconic gay bar in San Francisco is shutting down today. They're holding a press conference a little bit later on. And we've got that story for you as well. Before we get rolling, Michaela Gordon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, love. It's so funny that you thought it was April, because yesterday I was on the phone trying to make an appointment. And I said, yeah, March 27th is good. And they were like, March. And I was like, okay, fine, the 28th. And they were like, it's May. And yeah, I was like, I'm going to call you back.
Michaela Gordon is making an appointment to get her teeth cleaned at the dentist, apparently. Her next one is March 28th. So remind me to stay away from her, not get too close.
Yeah, it's me.
It is wild. I remember the first month or so of this pandemic thinking that every day lasted an eternity. And then a couple days ago, I went for a run. I looked at my app. I use this app, Peloton. My bike is coming next week. I'm super excited.
Yay! About
the workout at home. Yeah. And we ordered that thing about 2 months ago. So I'm excited it's finally almost here. But they have an app that you can do other sorts of workouts with. And one of them is running outdoors. And I love to run outdoors. So I was running quite a bit. And then I kind of lost motivation for what I thought was a few days.
Five,
six, maybe. I don't know. So I go 2 days ago to get into my app to go for a run. Turns out it's been 15 days. So apparently I went from a total standstill in my life to May flying by. I have no idea where it's going, but I actually kind of prefer that.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I went for a run. It wasn't great, but I did it.
You did it. You're getting out there. You're getting back into the swing of things. I'll tell you what, staying in Vegas for the next couple of days, people are really starting to try to adjust. And a friend of mine said that he likes this so much that he built like an entire gym in his home. And he said, when this life is over, he's just going to continue working out from home. I think life is going to change exponentially after COVID-19.
I agree. I also love the use of the word exponentially.
I said go
so
on.
Early in the day, Michaela Gordon, yeah. while your brain neurons are firing, why don't we do some news on the beat, you fancy thing?
Yeah, it's time. It's probably time, because I'm Barbara at Walters this morning.
Barbara Walters. Got
Barbara
it.
Wawa. Now, more than 5 million people worldwide have now been diagnosed with COVID-19, and almost 330,000 have died. To make matters even more difficult, the World Health Organization just reported the highest number of cases recorded in a 24-hour period during the pandemic, more than 106,000 across the globe. Brazil alone recorded more than 20,000 cases in a day and is now second to only Russia and the U.S. In infection numbers. Now, in the U.S., nearly 93,000 people have died. A new model suggests if the country had implemented social distancing just 2 weeks earlier, it could have prevented up to 84% of deaths and 82% of cases.
That is wild. You know, some of these numbers are so high right now because there is testing, and not to give any credit to Donald J. Trump at all, but there is a little bit of truth to the idea that, yeah, of course, there's more confirmed cases because we're testing more. However, if the rest of the country is shut down early like California did, this could be a different situation. And that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart to think of how many lives were lost just because our government didn't take action faster.
Well, listen, Michigan is feeling the same way. It's a mess out there. That's the word on coronavirus testing in the U.S. According to Mike Osterholm, the head of the University of Michigan Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy, the center released a new report saying COVID-19 testing is disorganized, confusing, and in dire need of national oversight. The report also brings up a worrying trend. Health officials in at least 4 states have been combining COVID-19 data on diagnostic tests and antibody tests, which skews results and potentially gives a muddled picture of the virus's spread. Now, Texas, Virginia, and Vermont have all said they recognize the data issue and moved to fix it in the past few days. In Georgia, health officials said they've been adding the tests to their daily totals since April, in line with methodology from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So just because we had testing doesn't mean it's not still a mess.
Yeah, you mentioned Michigan in there. The president is supposed to tour an auto plant in Michigan today, actually, just outside of Detroit. And the attorney general of Michigan, Dana Nessel, has asked the president to wear a mask. She called it his legal responsibility. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. All right, Chase. Well, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. You're in good company. Singer Gautier hits the big 4-0. Wow, I can't believe that. And Mr. T turns 68. Now give us a vibe of the day, please.
I can do that. To practice any art, no matter how well or badly, it is a way to make your soul grow. So do it. I like that.
Oh, I like that.
Continue
That's okay.
to grow during this time. Why not?
Why not? All right, you guys. Well, coming up, we're talking about growth, because between a generation that had to hide their sexuality to a younger generation who can live out loud and proud, how can we connect the two? And how could this affect your own self-confidence? We'll have that for you coming up next.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Now, if you've been paying attention in the last couple of weeks, every day, Michaela and I like to set aside just a little bit of time to check in. Sometimes we do it with ourselves. Sometimes we do it with our friends. Today, we have a special guest checking in with us.
Yes, we do. Okay, so he's a buddy of mine. I met Sweet James when I got into my own car accident. He totally helped me out, took care of me. He's a friend to Channel Q. Sweet James, the people's attorney. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So how's your family first and foremost? It's been 2 months of quarantine.
I am blessed to be quarantined with a wonderful family. We are well. We are happy. And I've been building couch forts with my five-year-old and coloring and swimming in the pool and having fun. So it's been
that kind of sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I talked to, I have a couple nephews out here, and my cousin Lindy, their mother, she said, you know what? It's been interesting learning to homeschool and do these other things and change our schedule, but I sort of love it. Is there any part of you that really has enjoyed these last couple of months of sort of shutting down?
Yeah, just like the intimacy of being with my loved ones for such an extended period of time. It's like, oh, my little five-year-old girl. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're a lot smarter than I am at 5 years old on some things. It's like, you clever girl. And my one-year-old is just a happy little tyke, and it's been great.
I love that. You know, that's my favorite thing about you. You're such a family man. Your wife is so lovely. I've met her twice now, and she's just incredible. I love that you're spending time with your fam, but you're still here for the people. You are the people's attorney. Yeah. And accidents are still happening. Unfortunately, people still have to go to work, like our healthcare workers. So what happens? Are you still working? Can they call you? Are you here for them?
Yep. 90% of my staff is working remotely. We didn't miss a beat. We're at full capacity. We are rocking and rolling. So yeah, we're here.
You're one of those companies that pivoted very quickly. We're hearing this word pivot a lot. What have you had to do differently? How have you had to adapt during this time?
Well, Before the pandemic, I had no idea what Zoom was, and now I live on Zoom. That's different. It's just holy smokes, where was this in my life? And that's a little different. Just had a meeting this morning with everybody and was able to say, hey, I can see you. I haven't seen people in person for months now, and it's nice to connect and see them again.
Do you think this is something you'll continue after this sort of this COVID-19 thing sort of passes? Are there things you're going to implement into your business moving forward that will be different than they were going into this?
We actually talked about that today. Most of the staff is anxious to get back into the office. You know, they miss the energy and the camaraderie. But there's a small group that are like, yeah, we're okay. And they're doing great at home. So we might incorporate that. We'll see.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. I think a lot of companies are realizing that it's more effective for some people just to work home. Now, I do have one question. Somebody knew that you were coming onto the show. So I got a DM and they said they got into an accident right before COVID-19 hit. And they haven't wanted to leave their home to get it looked at. How late is too late for them to be able to call you to deal with an accident that happened before COVID?
Earlier is always better. It's never too late, but earlier is always better. And I understand their concerns about seeing a doctor during this time. And a big thing that's emerged out of this is telemedicine. I'm having a lot of clients phone in and do video conferencing with doctors and physical therapists, and it's working. So there are options.
That really makes sense.
Like, yeah, my therapist and I have been doing teletherapy for about a year now, and it's interesting because she's completely shifted over. Obviously, now her entire client list is now teletherapy. It's a great option. I've been traveling before and had to get checked by a doctor and get a prescription. So it's fantastic that you even mentioned that.
You're a trendsetter doing it before the pandemic.
Yeah.
I've been planning for this thing for my entire life. I'm thriving.
Well, listen, we want to remind everybody that you can check out Sweet James at sweetjames.com and call even for a free consultation, 800-500-5200. Again, sweetjames.com, 800-500-5200. I know that people will be really excited to know that you've still been in business. You are the people's attorney. And I think now more than ever, people are just really scared, but we have to get back to normal life, and you are definitely a part of normal life. And so thank you for joining us. We love you here on The Morning Beat, and let us know if you need anything ever.
Yeah, keep loving on the kiddos.
Yeah, right. Well, you guys are part of normal life, and you guys are keeping me sane. So keep it up. Thank you so much.
I love
thank
that. You. Give love to your family, and we'll see you when we're all done with
Will
this.
Will do. Right, thank you.
All right, you guys, well, coming up, another friend to the show, you know and love her from Ryan Murphy's Hollywood and Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion. Mira Sorvino joins us to talk about this iconic role coming up next.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this Thursday, May 21st. We also want to remind you that our show gets turned into a podcast every day after we go off the air, and we'd appreciate your support in that area as well. If you can't listen to us live every day, no big deal. You can take us with you on your mobile device 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You can tell your friends and family. Had some really great conversations, some really amazing interviews the last couple of months. One of the sort of blessings that's come out of quarantine is the ability to get huge superstars on our show. We're so appreciative. We're so proud of the work we're doing. We thank you for listening with us. Go ahead and head over to the radio.com app. Download that now and take The Morning Beat with you on your mobile device anywhere you go. Please and thank you. Now, Michaela, this next What's Poppin' story involves a superstar who is a little bit reclusive, a little bit secretive, has great bangs, and now she's a mommy? Girl, what's poppin'?
So this story, I really just love Sia, period. I think not only is she such an authentic artist, she never even leaned on her looks. You know, she wore that wig forever that covered her face. She brought on Maddie Ziegler from Dance Moms.
Yes.
She's often been giving people an opportunity. She sings very raw with barely any auto-tune so that singers feel like they can make cracks in a song as they normally do while still singing their hearts out. So I just love her as an artist. Now, last year we talked about how she sent a text to Diplo saying, listen, you're one of my 5 best friends. We've had casual sex before. I just adopted a son. Do you want to continue having like no strings attached sex? So we did that. We did that in a What's Poppin', and we were like, adopted a son? turns out she adopted two sons last year, both 18 years old. She said, I love them. They were aging out of the system. And we know oftentimes when kids are aging out of the system, they don't really know what to do. And so she took them in. They're now 19 years old. And she said they've never been happier. Even in times of quarantine, they're obviously frustrated, but they're doing all the things to help themselves educational wise. And she's just really, really in love. And I have to say, my aunt was adopted, and oftentimes the little infants are adopted, the toddlers, because they're so yep. cute. They're like puppies. And then you get up to the teens, it's over 18. You're like, what's oftentimes what, how do I, what's the point? Like, will they care? And I think that's sometimes the most important is when they're 18.
Let's just take a moment to really like think about this and celebrate how cool this is. She's 44 years old. She adopted two 18-year-old young men who have been in, you know, the system for their lives. And I can't imagine the fear of aging out of the system with no sort of game plan, no goals, no solid foundation, no family, nobody to sort of lean on. Because once you age out, you're out. And then you're in the real world and you're trying to figure out how to get a job, how to have a career. Probably don't have the money to go to college because you've been in foster care. And then this international pop superstar worth millions of dollars with endless resources decides to reach out and change your entire life. That is so incredible. She is a quirky woman, and I love everything about her. She's a huge fan of Survivor, oddly enough. And for a few years now, during the Survivor finale, she will pick a fan favorite and give them $100,000. Somebody who didn't win the $1 million. And that's just kind of how she is, though. She's unexpected in the most delightful ways.
Yeah, well, it's so fun, too, because oftentimes you think that this is a attention-seeking, or they want to like get their names in the headlines, but nobody knew about this. I mean, a year has gone by that she's been raising her boys.
Which makes it even cooler
nobody
to
knew.
Me.
That's what I'm even saying. Cooler, yeah. That's incredible.
She doesn't do things for the attention necessarily.
No, she doesn't. Yeah. And I do think this brings up a really important topic. Maybe we can have a specialist come in next week. What is going on in foster homes right now, particularly in the global pandemic? And what is happening for the kids that are transitioning from 17 to 18? We've never been in a worse situation, I think.
Ooh, I love that you just said that. First of all, I love your heart. And I had not considered the foster care system right now. And to imagine a life where you don't have stability or family or consistent friends because you're moving around all the time, and to be going through a global pandemic like this, I think we really should have that discussion next week.
I think so too. It's an important one. I do too. So we'll reach out. We'll continue this conversation. Sia, you really are just such a superstar and such an incredible role model. Look at us. We're having more conversations because of what you've done that are very important. Now, coming up in our next hour, we have another very important conversation going down because apparently a woman in Nebraska is suing every single gay person, yeah, bitch, that includes you too. We're talking about it and what you need to know coming up in the next hour.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. May 21st, it's a Thursday. You know this is my favorite day of the week, Michaela Gordon. Thursdays are full of such hope. We're so close to the end of the week. We're almost there. Can't wait. It's going to be a great weekend. Memorial Day weekend coming up. It's going to be a little different for many people across the country.
But it sure is.
But listen, it is Memorial Day weekend nonetheless. And if you are listening to us right now, you are alive and well, and we're sending you good vibes. I actually do have a vibe of the day for our listeners in just a little bit. But before we get there, I know we have some breaking news, Michaela Gordon. What do you have for us, news on the beat?
We sure do. All right. Well, let's get to the unemployment numbers first. Now, the numbers are out. Another 2.4 million people have filed for unemployment, rounding us out now to 38.6 million people in total who are unemployed. I remember when we started saying this number, I remember when 2.4 was the total number, and we thought that was like devastating.
And
so,
and that 36, you said 36.8, is that what you said?
38.6.
38.6. I'm dyslexic, apparently, in my ears. That's in 8 weeks. Those are just new claims in 8 weeks. On top of the unemployed folks who were already unemployed going into COVID-19, these numbers are just staggering.
staggering. Okay, so there's other breaking news as well, and we'll continue keeping you updated as the story develops. But apparently a shooter at Naval Air Station Corpus Christi in Texas has been neutralized. The U.S. Navy said in a statement, one member of the Naval Security Forces has been injured. All gates on the installation remain closed while first responders process the scene. The Navy said NCIS is en route and state and local law enforcement are on the scene. Now, all details have not been released. Of course, the story just broke, but we'll continue keeping you updated. Again, it goes back to the first responders, how they're on their way. I mean, health workers, first responders, they've been so busy. And unfortunately, this isn't the only shooting. I read a story yesterday about a man, I believe he was in Glendale, and he opened fire in a mall and Snapchatted the whole thing, left three people injured, and he called it Westgate 2020.
And it's so sad. We've talked about mental health so often on the show, and it's almost like a pressure cooker situation happening globally right now. You know, people are on the verge. And I'm not to justify any of these actions in any way, shape, or form, but they're things that we're going to have to be considering moving forward. How to keep people mentally healthy in a time of pandemic. Just sending so much love to anyone involved, either in Corpus Christi or in Glendale as well.
Oh, all right. Well, in other news, more than 5 million people worldwide have now been diagnosed with COVID-19, and almost 330,000 have died. Now, to make matters even more difficult, the World Health Organization just reported the highest number of cases recorded in a 24-hour period during the pandemic, more than 106,000 across the globe. Brazil alone reported more than 20,000 cases in a day and is now second to only Russia and the U.S. in infection numbers. In the U.S., nearly 93,000 people have died. A new model suggests if the country had implemented social distancing just 2 weeks earlier, it could have prevented up to 84% of deaths and 82% of cases.
This is wild. I'm reading an article that just as of a couple of weeks ago, that the total number of deaths due to COVID-19, you know, just in the United States, we talked about the Vietnam War. Like these are war numbers now. 330,000 plus dead, and those are just the confirmed numbers. You know, many scientists believe that that number could be 3, 4, 5 times even higher than we actually realize. It's a real global crisis.
Yeah, it really is. All right, you guys, well, rounding out news, it's a mess out there. That's the word on coronavirus testing in the U.S., according to Mike Osterholm, the head of the University of Michigan Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy. The center released a new report saying COVID-19 testing is disorganized, confusing, and in dire need of national oversight. The report also brings up a worrying trend. Health officials in at least 4 states have been combining COVID-19 data on diagnostic tests and antibody tests, which skews results and potentially gives a muddled picture of the virus spread. So we'll continue keeping you updated. But in better news, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. You're in good company. Singer Gotye hits the big 4-0. Lisa Edelstein from House and Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce is 54. And Judge Reinhold is 63. That's a good birthday. Now, give us a vibe of the day, please.
All right. To practice any art, no matter how well or badly, is a way to make your soul grow. So do it.
That's easy. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, we are trying to make our souls grow, but we can't when people like this woman in Nebraska are trying to sue every gay person. You heard me right. Every single gay person. We're
all
talking about it and how this could affect you coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're an ally, you might want to pay close attention to this, because those of us in the LGBTQ community are being singled out right now. That's right. Every single one of us on planet Earth is being sued by a 66-year-old woman from Nebraska. Her name is Sylvia Driscoll. She's suing every gay person on Earth. It's just that simple. She describes herself as an ambassador of God and his son, Jesus Christ. She's going to serve as her own lawyer in this, of course.
Naturally.
This will be called Driscoll versus Homosexuals. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, my God.
Now, according to NBC News, her 7-page petition, written entirely in cursive, by the way, maybe with a feather pen or one of those ones where you can click the different colors. That would maybe that would be fun. Yeah, she doesn't reference any case at all or sort of law for U.S. District Judge John M. Girard to consider while he's looking at this case. But she does quote the Bible and Webster's Dictionary. I believe Michaela Gordon is on this case, and she actually has that quote for us. What does she have to say, Michaela?
Yeah, she said, "I never thought I would see a day in which our great nation or our own great state of Nebraska would become so compliant to the complicity of some people's blue behavior that homosexuality is a sin. It is. And that they, the homosexuals, know it is a sin to live a life of homosexuality. Why would they be hiding in their closet? Also, honey, because they have fabulous clothes,
yeah,
bitch."
Also, yeah, I love my closet. I got real cute stuff hanging in there. That's why I'm in there. But I'm not in the closet. I've been out for 20 years. Calm down.
I know. That's how you know we're existing.
In an interesting turn of events, everyone, apparently her voice changes mid-quote as well, even though it's a written quote, because at the beginning of that quote, it sounded like Miss Driscoll was maybe a sister to the nanny. And then by the end, she sounded like she was straight up from the Midwest, maybe even Nebraska.
She's got range.
That was fun. That was fun. Well,
here's my question. If she can sue us, can we sue her back? Like, can all of us sue her back?
Can we just sue all the Karens of the world, all the straight cis like white women who complain about everything? Can we sue them? Is that an option?
Yeah, I don't know how that works though, although I'm entertained, I'm a big gag girl. I would like to counter sue.
Also, my big concern though is that do I have to write it all in cursive? Because I don't even know if I can actually write the alphabet in cursive anymore. I write sort of a hybrid between the two. Am I allowed to type this up on my MacBook and then print it out and then file the petition? Is that an option? These are the questions I have.
Those are very important questions.
Yeah. I mean, and we make light of this, but like the reality is there are still so many people in our country and around the world who feel this way about us. And I talk to my therapist about this all the time. This sort of learned self-hatred almost that happens at a very young age. I knew I was gay when I was about 5 or 6 years old. So I've been dealing with the Sylvia Driscolls of the world, as we all have, our entire lives. And this kind of stuff, while it seems funny, it's really damaging to some people, especially to young people who haven't found their voice yet, who haven't found that inner strength to know that they are worth it, they're worthy, and that whatever Bible scripture she's quoting has also probably been used to keep women down and to support, slavery back in the day as well. Gay activist and columnist Dan Savage, he's got a voice. He always uses it. He's one of the many millions being sued in this. Obviously, he's part of our community. He's signaling that he'd be willing to take the stand. He put this on his on Twitter. He said, "Man, I hope I get deposed. I mean, I want to take the stand. I would love to go out there and I would give this lady a piece of my mind." What would you say to her, Michaela?
I mean, I think that as much as I don't want to make light of it, it's very stupid. I mean, it's the most ignorant thing I've ever read. I, Sylvia, am suing every homosexual in the world. Like, you don't even sound educated. No. And then to represent yourself, you're embarrassing yourself. And I think that I feel more sorry for her. If she had a gay in her life, honey, she might win the case.
They would help her be a little bit sassier. It reminded me of after Anderson Cooper a couple of days ago said that he counted being gay as one of his greatest blessings in life. You know, he's talking about being a father finally and being gay and how like he's so grateful for that. And I've said that many times in my life. There's not one thing about me that defines who I am more than my sexuality. It's defined my perspective, my point of view, my gumption, my strength. It's also been the cause of so much of my hurt and despair and my depression. But that has molded me. And I remember talking to my mom not that long ago, and she talked about how grateful she is to have a gay son, to have somebody who she can talk to and be open and honest with, and just really kind of pour her heart out to, because, you know, she's been married for, 20 some years, and my stepfather's incredible, but men of a certain age tend to communicate differently than gay people. Like, we are so in tune with our emotions because we've had to deal with them and shield ourselves from others our entire lives. So listen, we've been attacked by the Sylvia Driscolls of the world many times before. It'll happen many times in the future. This lawsuit is hilarious, though, and I just love that she wrote it in cursive.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious, too. I don't take any mind to it, and neither should anybody listening, and I don't think they do. And if you're of the youth, they're coming out with a generation of Lil Nas X. No one's paying attention to Karen.
And shout out to Time. This is actually an article in Time magazine. Just came out this week. Written by Nolan Feeney. Thanks for bringing light to this, because it's been blowing up my social feed. We had to talk about it. It's hilarious, but also really, really sad at the same time.
Yeah. All right. Well, coming up, what tourist staple may be leaving the Las Vegas Strip forever, and how might this affect your vacations? We'll have that for you coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Now, Michaela Gordon, this story might be a little different from you since you grew up in Las Vegas, but for the rest of us who come to the city to vacation, to get away, to escape, to be children again, you usually go for a myriad of reasons. Some people go to gamble. Some people go because of the nightlife and the strip clubs. Some people, myself included, kind of go for the buffets.
Oh, not going to lie.
I love me a buffet, as disgusting as I think they actually are in reality. I live for a good buffet. But buffets might be a thing of the past in Las Vegas, as many casinos are now coming out and saying, listen, we're not reopening them in phase one. Some saying they might not reopen them at all. Now, during a call just Tuesday morning, Frank Fertitta III, he's the CEO of Red Rock Resorts, which is the parent company of Station Casino, said buffets won't be among any of the amenities in the early stages of reopening. Now, this is in line with what the CEOs and owners of others, Tropicana Las Vegas, M Resort, Wynn Resorts, MGM International Resorts, all saying the same thing. No more buffets for a couple of reasons. One, we just did that story the other day, or was it last week, about the study in Japan that showed in a matter of, 30 minutes, how quickly COVID-19 spread, or a bacteria-like substance would spread at on a buffet line, just from people touching the handles and scooping food up and grabbing plates. It spread throughout. Literally everybody who touched the buffet in 30 minutes. That's one of the reasons, but also a more economical reason is that apparently buffets just don't make money. They call them major loss leaders. They don't make money, but they draw people into gamble. So that's the draw.
It's so sad. Being from Vegas, going to the buffet was not just for tourists. That was like a fancy dinner that you used to go to. My pop and grandma used to take me to the Rio buffet.
That's my favorite one. The seafood buffet.
Yeah. The best one. Uh-huh. And we would go for fancy dinner. And I think that even if it wasn't something that was like the food was always fresh and great, it was such an experience. Mm-hmm. So you would go. But I have noticed over the years, the buffets just aren't what they used to be. I think that a lot of it is they brought so many restaurants and so many celebrity restaurants like Gia. What's her name? Gia. Giada.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And all of these different celebrities that people get drawn to.
Yep.
That's what they want to spend their money on. And I think that people also kind of started getting grossed out at the thought of a buffet. How long is the food sitting out there? People started touching it. So that doesn't really surprise me. Make me feel so sad, though.
Of course, it's such an iconic staple of what Las Vegas is. Wynn Resorts released a 28-page report on its health and disinfection program. Talking about eliminating buffet service for the foreseeable future in all of their meeting and convention spaces as well. It's not clear whether they're going to get rid of them forever in their casinos, but for now, they're not coming back. Here, I have so many emotions about this. I have a lot of fond memories at buffets. Growing up as a child, we would go to Ponderosa once a week because we'd go to the Pizza Hut buffet. They had those in the sit-down Pizza Hut restaurants back in Ohio. We would do that every Wednesday night. We would go to a fried chicken buffet at this restaurant called Casey Jones in our hometown. My sister hated the chicken. She thought it was disgusting, but we would go there sometimes once a week. And for a family, raising, five children, and there's often deals if you bring your kids eat free or whatever. It was a good option for our family. For many people going to Las Vegas, it's a good option to be able to feed and eat a lot. But on the other side, they really are kind of disgusting and kind of,
the prices were getting way more.
It was no longer you could go $8.99 all you can eat. Now they're $50 to go to some of these buffets. I have other issues. I mean, obviously we have an obesity problem here in this country, and they're saying that the reason COVID-19 is spreading and impacting Americans at such a great level is that we do have a healthcare problem already before COVID-19 ever happened. And on a personal level, what I don't like about buffets is that you could be with a group of people, a family, and somebody's always coming and going. You don't get to really sit down and enjoy a meal together. There's that desire to go back up. Like, it's great on one hand. Where else can you get prime rib and like ambrosia salad and like some sushi and raw oysters all at once? It's a rare combination that you can only find at a
buffet. But also, that feels kind of terrible now on your stomach. As you say it out loud, I'm like,
Oy. And then tell me if I'm wrong. Have you ever found a buffet where all those little tiny like desserts are actually good? How many times do you get like a lemon bar, a cupcake?
I'm used to plays.
Yeah, four different types of cheesecake and a couple ice creams and maybe one thing is actually good.
Here's the thing. On the topic of restaurants, I will say this. I went down the street and this little pizza place that was open for only about 2 years closed, which made me feel so bad. And apparently there's a few more that are closing. However, downtown where I also used to live, they've started bringing the restaurants outside and the tables are 6 feet apart. One of them used a vacant parking lot so they could keep the business going. So while they're getting very innovative, I think that Vegas is going to get hit by this probably harder, if not the hardest than anybody, just because it's totally tourists and life will change as we know it. Me and Lisa were driving around yesterday. It was so sad.
I absolutely agree.
Well, coming up, this is breaking news and what's popping. Lori Loughlin has come to a decision on how she will plead. Find out how this will affect the rest of her and her family's life.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. In just a moment from now, we've got a major, major break in the Lori Loughlin case, the college scandal case. We've got some news and what's popping for you that's going to probably require you pick your jaw up off the floor. But before we get there, I want to remind you that on tomorrow's show, Friday, Tamar Braxton, she's got a new show coming out on VH1. She's joining us to tell us all about it. We're super excited. So make sure you tune in tomorrow for Tamar Braxton on the Morning Beat. Also, I want to remind you that we've had a lot of really great celebrity interviews the last couple of months. One of the benefits of being, you know, in a lockdown is that everybody's got free time. So we've had some banger guests on the show, some fantastic conversations. And if you missed any of those, or you want to share with friends and family, or just take another listen, you can listen to us, The Morning Beat, as a podcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Head over and download the radio.com app and take us with you on your mobile device anywhere you go, please and thank you. Now, Michaela Gordon, what's popping with Lori Loughlin? Aunt Becky, what's going on?
Okay, all right, okay. Now, if you don't think the world could get any crazier with this world pandemic, Lori Loughlin has said she was innocent from the very beginning. She said, we're going to get through this. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Breaking news, her and her husband have pled guilty in college admissions scandal and is agreeing to serve prison time. They've actually struck a plea deal that they're waiting to see if the judge will sign off on. But if this goes the way that they're hoping for, she'll spend 2 months in prison. She'll pay a $150,000 fine and be subjected to 2 years of supervised release and perform 100 hours of community service, prosecutors are saying. And in her husband's case, his plea agreement is 5 months in prison, a $250,000 fine, 2 years of supervised release, and 250 hours of community service. Now they're saying under the plea agreements filed today, these defendants will serve prison terms reflecting their respective roles in a conspiracy to corrupt the college admissions process and which are consistent with prior sentences in this case. Now, because it's breaking news, it's a developing story. We'll continue keeping you updated, but this is where we're at right now.
Yeah, this is a wild turn of events. I did not think, just as of a couple of weeks ago, Lori Loughlin's attorneys were saying, kind of alluding to this idea that there was information that was about to come out that was going to exonerate them completely. She has held her innocence for over a year now. And it's interesting, 2 months in prison, that's really going to turn into about 2 weeks. Like, real talk, she goes in, she acts good. There's a pandemic going on right now. She doesn't cause any problems. They're going to let her out early. She's not going to serve a full 2 months. But
I'm wondering if being in quarantine for 2 months led their decision to be like, okay, we can do it. We've been in prison essentially for 2 months. Yeah. You know what? Do it. We'll do it. And then they called their attorneys, and their attorneys were like, listen, we'll send you to a really good prison. You'll be safe. live it up. We'll put money on your books. I mean, come on, when you're a celebrity, it's not like you're going to Rikers. Like, you're going to an all-women's facility.
I think they're sending them to Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, please.
Gitmo. Listen, Gitmo it is.
One of my friends got caught in a scandal last year from American Idol and had to go serve prison time. And I said, well, how's she doing? Like, is she scared? What's going on? They said, girl, no, she's in a women's facility. Like, they treat them very differently. And she's the women. I mean, they're always in women's facilities for the most part, but it's like a very nice one.
They're they're not all Orange is the New Black. I mean, Well, I mean, that was a whole different.
I feel like I would do good in prison. I mean, I never want to go, but I'm just saying if I did.
Girl, same. I'm not even lying. When I was a kid, I was going through my awkward sort of like in the closet stage as a young boy. I was like, you know, my only opportunity to ever be with a man might be if I go to prison.
That's right. You always felt like that.
I don't know if that's really a viable option for me, but that was my white privileged little butt when I was, you know, 15 years old, scared to ever come out. Well, that's what I thought was my best option for finding a man.
Yeah, well, for me, no, listen, like, I don't want privilege to be the thing. I just want to go for the attention. Like, the girls are hot, and I feel like they would just be, like, nice to me, and then I'd be nice to them, and then we'd be, like, playing cards and eating ramen. Yeah. Like, if I could live in a place where I could eat ramen every day.
There's no privilege attached to that statement at all, Michaela Gordon. You're absolutely right. You're spot on.
No, we're just kidding. We're totally kidding. All joking aside, you know, we always try to make you laugh. I have a very dark personality. It is not always the way that Lori Loughlin is going into prison. We know that. We've seen that. And I think that if she does go, her and her husband, but you know what, though? I don't know if the judge is going to agree to this because it feels so light for them, this light sentencing, now that they've lied the whole time.
Yeah, and I also think they'll probably do, if they do sentence them both to prison time, they'll probably do what they did with Teresa Giudice and her husband Joe. They staggered their sentences so they can, at least one can be home for the children or for you know, their adult children.
But their kids are adults. They may just go together.
Yeah.
We'll continue keeping you updated, of course. But coming up in our final hour, it's Therapy Thursdays. And we're actually diving in deeper into a story we did this morning about living half in, half out of the closet and how that affects different generations and our mentality. Dr. Milo joins us coming up in our final hour.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this Thursday, May 21st. Normally, Michaela Gordon, we do a little bit of a kiki right here, but I feel like there's so much breaking news happening while we've been on the air this morning and before we went to air that we should just get right to news on the beat, shall we?
Listen, you got it. There's so much going on. The numbers are out, first and foremost, when it comes to unemployment. 2.4 million more people have filed for unemployment. This brings us to a horrible 38.6 million people in total who are now unemployed. I said this when we talked about it in the hour before, but I remember when we said 2.4 million in total and we were like, this is unreal, this is awful.
Well, that was
and
about
now
8 weeks
think about
ago.
All those people. Yeah.
That was about 8 weeks ago when states started to shut down. This is, you know, 38.6 million new claims in just 8 weeks. That number is astronomical.
Astronomical. All right. Well, in other breaking news, an active shooter at a Naval Air Station, Corpus Christi, has been neutralized. Now, everyone seems to be fine. It's said that all gates on the installation remain closed while first responders process the scene. NCIS is en route and state and local law enforcement are also on the scene. We don't have a lot of information as the story develops. We'll continue keeping you updated. But it reminded me of a story that I saw just yesterday in Glendale, Arizona. That's Arizona to be exact, of a young kid who was on Snapchat. And he said that he wanted it to be Westgate 2020. It was a Westgate mall. He walked in and just started shooting people. Thankfully, nobody was injured. One person did have to go to the hospital. But I mean,
it's sick.
We're talking, you said you talked about mental health. And I also talk about this weird, you know, I was laughing yesterday with Lisa. I said, I'm such a boomer. I'm trying to figure out this TikTok because, you know, my agent wanted me to get one. And it's the faster way to be funny. And I said, I just don't understand it. But these people are becoming famous so quickly. And I think we live in a generation where we just crave fame and power, whether that be the internet, social media, hashtag Westgate 2020. Like, I just feel like there's so much wrong.
Yeah. And just to clarify, society. In the Corpus Christi shooting, there is one member of the Naval Security Forces who has been injured, but we'll keep our listeners updated on the status of that that person. We're sending love.
Absolutely. All right, you guys, well, rounding out news on the beat today. Struggling U.S. farmers and ranchers won't see coronavirus relief money until June, about 2 months after Congress appropriated it. Now, the Department of Agriculture said farms can begin applying for the money Tuesday, but many in the industry are already saying that whatever money they get will not be enough. Disappearing demand from restaurants and schools means farmers have had to upend supply chains and even destroy excess product. Farm bankruptcies are up to 23% over the past year and are likely to keep rising. Meanwhile, a growing number of Republicans are voicing support for another coronavirus relief package, despite messaging from the party that it's too soon to tell whether a fourth round of aid will be necessary. Several GOP senators say they want to move on an infrastructure package that pumps money into roads, bridges, and transportation projects.
Yeah, and just reminded to our listeners, we did break the story just moments ago that Lori Loughlin and her husband Massimo have agreed. They pled guilty in the college admissions scandal. She's agreed to serve a couple months in prison and pay a fine of about $150,000. He's going to do about 5 months in prison, $250,000 fine. They're each going to do quite a bit of community service, a total of 350 hours in total. So that story just breaking a little bit ago as well. It's a lot going on today, Michaela.
There's a lot going on. So let's get to birthdays. Keep it fun. Keep it light. If you're celebrating, you deserve to celebrate. Singer Gauthier hits the big 4-0. You've got Livia Olsen from Adventure Time and Phineas and Ferb, 28. And Lisa Edelstein from House and Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce is 54. Now, please hit us with a vibe of the day. We need it.
All right. To practice any art, no matter how well or badly, is a way to make your soul grow. So do it.
It's a I great really time. Love that.
This is a great time. I told you, I'm taking a class. I'm taking an online course at Stanford right now in on love. It's a good time to kind of do some like self-enrichment.
It's a good time to have a good time.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Well, it's Therapy Thursdays, and we are pulling from a story we talked about earlier. Living half in, half out of the closet. How does that affect your mental psyche? We've got Dr. Milo joining us to talk about that coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It is Therapy Thursdays. As always, we have one of our favorite guests on the show. We have Dr. Milo joining us today. First and foremost, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for saying one of your favorites. I feel
no,
really
you
special
are.
Right
You're
now.
Like the you nicest are. Guy in the world. You give great advice. We love you.
Thanks,
listen, you gave me advice about my grandma that I've been holding on to for dear life. And yeah. I don't listen to anybody, if you know me. So I really appreciate
you.
You
really
we love having you on.
You did something with her, and that says something. thanks for the help. She's been much better lately. She's dealing, yes, she's coping good. Like an adult, which I'm so proud of. We had a conversation on the show. We had a conversation on the show this week about, you know, with the passing of Little Richard and Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy, a couple of men who sort of lived like 1 foot in the closet, 1 foot out of the closet. People. It reminds us of so many others that, like Liberace, like others over the years, were like, were they fully out? Were they not fully out? And this idea of living in the half closet has sort of come up a lot. We've been seeing it around social media, seeing articles written about it, and how different it is for my generation compared to the generation before. I'm kind of curious to know, from your perspective, what sort of impact can that have on somebody's mental health, living a half-truth and a half lie?
Yeah, sure thing. So as you've heard me mention in the past before, and I'm going to always want to do this because it's necessary, I need to own my privilege here as a cisgender straight man in this case, because my understanding and my perspective is ultimately shaped through that and my experiences. One of the most important questions here I think's necessary to ask is, what's the intent behind us asking this question in the first place? Because I think it's one thing to be like curious. It's another thing to be empathetically curious. And when we're trying to approach this from a place of empathy, I think we're also considering that for those folks, as well as for countless others, there could be concerns about safety. There can be concerns about repercussions. And ultimately, it's those folks' choice. It's not our choice just to be like, I wonder why, and maybe this and maybe that. And so ultimately, I think what I really want to highlight here and what's important is that people do that for an array of reasons. And it's not necessarily just going to be one uniform reason or just one ultimate kind of uniform thing across the board. So I think it's helpful to have these conversations. And I also want to kind of caution us to just say it's one automatic thing for everybody.
Well, I'd like to ask you, I feel like there are some people who are of the older generation. There's others who are of this younger generation with Lil Nas who are very embraced. Then there's people just kind of stuck in the middle. What advice would you give to those people who kind of know to stay more conservative, but are still in a place where they can come out and freely be themselves, but maybe haven't been able to the first 30 years of their life?
Yeah, 100%. I think I would want to empower them to be out and to feel connected in communities where they decide what's best for them and who they decide to connect with. Sometimes we have our blood and we have our family relatives, and we also have our chosen family. And so when you feel like you're in a place where you can be out, where you have that choice to make about who and when and how you're having these discussions and being out, I would want to encourage folks and empower folks to recognize that's up to them to make that choice. And whoever that's with, whenever that's with, there's a lot of power in being able to make that choice for yourself.
I love your use of the word power and empowerment and reminding our listeners that, you know, it is a choice and it's different for every single person. You know, sexuality is a spectrum and everybody's journey is their own. And I find that when Michaela was talking about people kind of stuck in the middle, I feel like that's kind of me, to be honest. I'm turning 40 in a couple of months. And, you know, I was saying this yesterday, like, I've in the past, when I was younger, looked to the older generations like, why are you guys so bitter and angry all the time? I don't get it. Like, I get that you guys rioted at Stonewall, and I get that you fought for these rights and you've been marching in parades and you lost so many lives during the HIV crisis. And my heart breaks for you. But as a young person, I didn't understand. I'm like, well, then why wouldn't you want us to celebrate and be our authentic selves now? But now as I approach 40, I'm looking at teenagers and 20-some-year-olds, and I'm seeing like teenagers coming out, young kids, even younger, you know, coming out and living their truth, and finding myself a little bit jealous of that, a little bit like envious of that freedom. Like, just on a human level, how important is it that we're able to like think and live freely and live authentically? Like, what does that actually do to our psyche, the ability to live authentically?
Yeah. So as a psychologist, one of the ways that I practice and work with clients actually is making sure that we're aligning their internal sense of self with how they're, you know, they're feeling like they're being perceived in an external way. And so when we have that congruence, we see that mental health tends to be improved and tends to be higher than when folks feel like there's an incongruency. So for example, if I have to feel like I can't be my full self in some places, in those places I may not be as mentally well because I'm fearful of safety concerns, I'm fearful of really heterosexist repercussions in the workplace or at school. And I think what we know at the very, very minimum, we want people to feel safe, because it breaks my heart to know that the research says that I think it's like 3 out of 4 LGBTQ youth don't feel safe at school. And we know that there's such a higher rate of suicide attempts. I think it's 5 times higher than their straight peers. So when we're having these conversations, again, it's important when we're able to balance and be our authentic selves, like you're saying, AJ, that's when we can be the most mentally well. And there's so much power, like you said, in that. And that's where my heart is, especially with the youth.
Is that why my therapist always asks me why I refer to myself as a sociopath and a psychopath in therapy? she tells me all the time, she's like, you talk so poorly of yourself. Why is that? And I don't even know, like, I use it as a sense of, like, it's humor almost, but I feel like it's almost a defense mechanism, having had to be a million different things to a million different people growing up in a small rural farming town in the Midwest.
Well, I haven't been blessed to know the young AJ or the AJ from back in the day. I would love to have those conversations. But my assumption here is that you've done that in a lot of ways, like other people have, to be able to protect yourself. And it makes sense when you're in situations when you don't feel safe, when you don't feel seen or secure, that you're needing to do things or to say things to be able to emotionally protect yourself. And so all that being said, AJ, I love who you are today. And I love that you're able to really be vulnerable and express yourself that way.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much, Doc. We appreciate you as always. We look forward to talking to you very soon. We hope you're staying safe. Thank you for the advice and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me as always.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, it's apparently not just lesbian bars who need saving. One of the oldest gay bars in San Francisco is shutting down permanently. Could COVID-19 wipe out the gay bars completely? And how will that affect you? Coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Now, if you listened yesterday, we were talking about the possibility of it after COVID-19, after this pandemic, that there might not be any lesbian bars left in the nation. There are only 16 going in, and many of them won't make it out of this, sadly. Now we're hearing a story that as of today, the Stud, San Francisco's oldest gay bar, will be permanently closing due to COVID-19. Now they're set to have a press conference later on today. But it's shutting the doors. It's been open for 55 years, known for their drag and punk and a strong leather lineage. It's been a South of Market District mainstay, a touchstone for the LGBTQ+ nightlife and culture for decades. They cited a lack of revenue, Michaela, as their reasoning for shutting down. You know, they hit some money issues a few years ago, back in, I think, 2016. Their rent was tripled, and it went from $3,800 a month to $9,500 a month. It was bought by a new investment company and they tripled their rent. So the previous owners decided to sell and ended up being bought sort of as a co-op by a few other people in the community, including RuPaul Drag Race's alum, Honey Mahogany. There are 17 bar owners basically for the last like 4 years who've been keeping the Stud going. But it's coming to an end today, which is it's heartbreaking to hear these stories.
You know, it's so sad, and I don't want to take light to anything that people have donated to, but, you know, within our own community, I do wish that people who are a little bit more successful and a little more well-off, while wanting to donate to all these different charities, and I think it's great, you know, these are historic places for our LGBTQ community, and I feel like if we were able to come together and raise money the way that we have for so many other things, these places would have still had a chance because that's so sad. It's 55 years. I mean, there's so much history.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they were really, if you think about it, 55 years ago, they were there for us in a time where it was very difficult. And now we're in a place where we can be loud and proud going off our last conversation and they're fading away. And I think that's just so unfortunate.
Yeah, it makes me sad. Like, it's a really good point you bring up. It's wonderful that celebrities were given $1 million to this organization or $1 million to that organization. And it would be nice but listen, you can't save every place. And that's the heartbreaking reality of COVID-19. We're seeing that and we're going to see so much more of it as we reopen. A lot of places haven't announced that they're closing because in order to close, oftentimes you have to be able to go in and, like, if you're a major store, you have to be able to liquidate some of your items in your store. If you're a bar or restaurant, there's not necessarily a major upside to announcing that you're closing right now. I think people are sort of trying to delay the inevitable a little bit. So it does break my heart. They're doing something kind of interesting, though. They're doing in perfect the Stud fashion. They're going to have a drag funeral.
Oh, I love it.
May 31st. Yep. This is Honey Mahogany says on May 31st, they're having a drag funeral on Twitch, which is an online platform really popular with gamers. I have a few friends who are Twitch sort of influencers. And because right now, I mean, we're physically distanced and it's just so sad. And the sad thing is the Stud was doing great. They seemed to be doing really well. Like, they were still packed. There were still lines there as of early March before things, you know, and as we know, San Francisco got hit so hard so fast. And they just have not been able to keep up. It's difficult when you're primarily, you know, more of a bar as opposed to a restaurant bar.
Well,
restaurants have been able to pivot, but bars are having a hard time.
But here's my problem. for those kind of bars, they were not just bars for our community in the way that they were for the heterosexual community. 55 years ago, that bar was a, and still probably is, a safe place, even more yeah. so then, though. They couldn't come out to their families. They couldn't openly be gay. And so this bar would provide not only, sure, drinks and dancing and authenticity, but for people to really get in touch with who they wanted to be and weren't able to be. And so, sure, we've got all these bars that are newer and cooler and a year old, but I wish that we would have preserved our older bars because they really did take care of us. And I think that's what makes me so sad about it.
Yeah. So you got a chance to say goodbye in another week or so, but it sounds like the Stud is shutting down unless we find some sort of miracle. We'll see.
All right, because we'll need some really good news after that. And coming up in Life Goes On, there's a celebrity offering $100 million in loans to minority and women-owned small businesses. Find out who it is in Life Goes On.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this Thursday, May 21st. Now, before we send you off into your day, we like to do a segment called Life Goes On, where we remind you that no matter what's going on in the world, no matter how scary things are or this pandemic may seem, there's so much good happening. So here are three uplifting stories to fill your heart with some hope and joy on this Thursday. First up, Magic Johnson is doing something pretty remarkable. Now, during this pandemic, you know, we've seen a lot of relief coming from our government, but the fact of the matter is most minority-owned small businesses were not able to take advantage of the short-term loans being offered by the government during the onset of the coronavirus. So Magic Johnson has decided to step in to the tune of $100 million. That's right, $100 million in loans to minority and women-owned small businesses. I think this is so fantastic. You know, he's become quite the mogul, you know, since, you know, being the heart of the Lakers for so long back in the day. He stuck around, but he has partnered with MBE Capital Partners to source $100 million in loans to minority and small and women-owned small businesses. I think it is totally fantastic. And for this edition of Life Goes On, we're going to stick with the money theme because there's a lot of good being done with a lot of money right now globally. And Michaela, I believe you have a story that also involves a high dollar amount.
I love this story. I also love the story you just did. But Chef Jose Andres' charity is injecting $50 million into restaurants by paying them to feed the hungry. So this kind of started in California. The state started giving, started paying restaurants to deliver food to seniors in need. Now, you often talk about your senior neighbor. You want to offer her food, but you also don't want to make her feel nervous. And we have to be very careful. So they're just delivering them food. And now, thanks to, it's called the newly launched Restaurants for the People Initiative, launched by World Central Kitchen. It's a Washington, D.C.-based charity whose Food First Responders program has already served millions of meals around the world. And Chef Jose Andres founded the organization after visiting post-earthquake Hades in 2010. And he's whipping up these meals and it's feeding so, so many people. I mean, this is the way to do it. I feel like if you're finding a way, remember when we did that story, I think it was in New York, and it was a chef, he went to his Italian restaurant and they cooked up all that Italian food and they went outside and just started feeding the neighborhood.
I think that's fantastic.
The way to do it. That's in the time of need. People are hungry.
Well, we talked to the owner of Mario's in the Coachella Valley. He's been doing the same thing on a local level, which is so beautiful. We had the creators of Sunny Blue here in Santa Monica, actually, California, doing something similar a few weeks ago. But listen, it's not just people with money and with some fame who are raising funds right now for a good cause. Remember this guy? We talked about him a few weeks ago. Captain Thomas Moore, he was a World War II veteran, lives in the United Kingdom, and he decided that before his 100th birthday, which was April 30th, that he would walk 100 laps in his backyard to raise money. So he started doing that. He did a little online fundraiser. Okay. Guess how much money he's raised?
How much?
$40 million.
Yes!
Not just that. He's raised $40 million to help those suffering from COVID-19, and he's now no longer Captain Thomas Moore, a World War II veteran. He's Sir Captain Thomas Moore, World War II veteran, because he's been knighted by the Queen of England in honor of his incredible campaign. This is a global story that warms my heart. And we actually have some audio of this 100-year-old gentleman who's been recently knighted. Take a listen.
I must say it's rather different. I mean, To get this honour is so outstanding that I really can't say how different I feel, but I certainly feel that I've been given a very outstanding honour by the Queen and the Prime Minister, and I thank them all very much. I'm certainly delighted, and I am overawed by the fact that this has happened to me.
So great.
I love it. I think it's amazing. Yep. Well, I think it's important that in this time, I think why we created this segment is that although there's a lot of negative news, very scary news, high unemployment numbers, there's still people giving back and treating people kind. So try to take that with you the rest of the day. It's Thursday. It's almost the weekend, if that means anything to you. And tomorrow we have a great show for you. Tamar Braxton joins us to talk about a new show that she will be on. I love her. So take care of yourselves and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks as always for listening.
Giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.